Hello, everyone. The subject before us today is a very, very practical one and a very, very important one if we're to progress spiritually. The question, how may I witness fruitfully? It's not only a case of how may I witness, but how may I witness in such a way that my testimony is going to bear definite fruit for my Lord. Now, when our Lord Jesus Christ was about to go back to heaven after he arose from the dead, as he stood with his own beloved followers on the Mount of Olives, he provided them and provides us with the great mandate of all missionary activity. Listen to him as he speaks. Acts 1 and verse 8 is the record. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. This is the mandate, I say, for all missionary activity, for all witnessing, and it has never been withdrawn. The apostles began in Jerusalem. They fanned out to the province of Judea and then to the northerly province of Samaria. And now the gospel message has spilled around the world and you and I are part of this great missionary army. The Lord has saved us in order that we might produce and win others. He has encouraged us by the promise, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. These are the words of Christ as recorded in Matthew 28 and verses 19 and 20. However, the responsibility to sow the seed is not peculiar to Christianity alone. It goes right back to the Old Testament and it finds its roots in the words of David, for example, in Psalm 126:6. Where he says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. My, what a cluster of contrasts we have here to encourage our hearts. We begin with the sower, he that goeth forth and weepeth. He that goeth forth and weepeth, this is the one who sows. This is the one who goes forth in loneliness and perhaps discouragement amidst great odds. He goes forth and weeps. And then there's not only the sower, but there's the seed. It's described here as precious seed. You see, the seed is the word of God, and it has the very life of God in it. There's something dynamic about this holy word of God. And this is the seed that he places in our hand. And he says, now then, sow it. Not only the sower and the seed, but there are the sheaves. For listen, it says he shall doubtless come again bringing his sheaves with him. Did you notice the contrast? We go out with seed. And we come back with sheaves. We go forth, and we come again. Now this is the day of the going forth. This is the day of the seed. This is the day of the weeping. This is the day of the service. But oh, this fast approaching the day when we'll come again. And this time we'll not bring seed back, we'll bring sheaves back. We'll not go out, we'll not come back weeping, we'll come back singing, for it says, he shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, in order to bring this into sharp focus, and to suggest ways and means whereby we may be effective and fruitful in our missionary witness, I want to turn with you to this matchless story in John chapter 1, beginning with verse 35. I'm reading that again the next day, John stood, that's John the Baptist, and two of his disciples, and looking on Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And then it says, one of the two that heard him speak, heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which by interpretation is a stone. Now, there are great principles here that will help you and me if we're to be effective soul winners. I want you to notice, first of all, that these two young men that became effective in winning others, they, first of all, heard John speak. It says so in verses 37 and 40 of John chapter 1. They heard. Say, there's a tip for you and me. I must listen to the Holy Spirit's testimony concerning Christ, first of all. I must know what the basis of my testimony is. If I ask you, for example, "Do you know a good doctor you could recommend to me?" Or perhaps if I were visiting in your community and say, and were to say to you, say, "I've got a bad tooth. My, it's giving me a lot of distress. Do you know a good dentist?" I think that you could come up with an answer there, don't you? I think you could say, "Well, I know a good doctor. If it's a dentist you need, I know a good dentist too. I know a good mechanic if your car is out of order." Now, what are you doing? You're testifying. Yeah, that's right. You're witnessing. But first of all, you have your facts straight. Now, if I'm going to recommend the Lord Jesus to others, of course, I've got to know him myself. You see, if I'm going to have the privilege of introducing two persons, I must know both of them. That's it. I must say, may I present so-and-so? Or I'd like you to meet my friend so-and-so. I know both parties. So if I'm going to be an effective witness, I must hear what the testimony of the Bible has to say about the Lord Jesus. I found in him a Savior. One who bled for me upon the cross of Calvary. One who paid my debt. One who satisfied every claim of the righteous throne of a righteous God against me. And now who's ascended and living at God's right hand, yes? And who's living in my heart by his Holy Spirit. These men heard. It says in the book of Proverbs, a wise man will hear. A wise man will hear and will increase wisdom and increase knowledge. Have you heard? Faith cometh by hearing, not doing, hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then, having heard, these two young men followed Jesus. You see, John the Baptist pointed to Jesus and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And these two young men said, as it were, "Thank you, John, for that tip. Goodbye, John." And they left John the Baptist and they followed Jesus. They first of all heard and then they followed. If I'm going to do right, I've got to first of all be right. My life has to be in fellowship with him and my heart overflowing, and I want others to know him. I found in Jesus Christ a satisfying Savior, and I want to follow him. You see, I can't recommend him if my life is crooked and inconsistent. I think it was Bonar, that great Scottish saint, who wrote these lines, "Thou must thyself be true if thou the truth wouldst teach. Thy soul must overflow if thou another soul would reach." It takes the overflow of heart to give the lips full speech. They followed Jesus. Are you? Am I? And then third, they lived with the Lord Jesus. For in verse 39 of John 1, it says they came and saw where he dwelt or where he lived, and they abode with him that day. They lived with him. They moved in with him, and they looked into his face, and they heard his words, and they enjoyed fellowship with him. You know, if you love a person, you like to be with them. You like to talk with them and communicate with them and exchange thoughts with them. Personal communion with Jesus is indispensable to all fruitful service. The heart may be, the heart being filled means that the mouth will be filled too. Now, a head full of theology and Greek and Hebrew. With him before I can talk. First of all. And then, secondly, they followed Jesus. They followed him. He went ahead and they just followed him, and his will was their will. And then they lived with him, and they talked with him, and they communed with him. And then they went out, and it is said in verse 41 of John chapter 1 that Andrew went out and he first findeth his own brother Peter. And he saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is the Christ. And it says he brought him to Jesus. You know, the lovely thing about this is that no one told Andrew to go after Peter. The Lord didn't say, now look here, Andrew, you've had a pretty good time in my presence, haven't you? You and I have been getting along wonderfully well, and you know that I'm the Messiah. Now look here, I want you to lose no time. I want you to get out and tell others as fast as you can go. No, the Lord didn't do that. The Lord never told him. You know why? Oh, of course you do. He didn't have to tell him. That's right, he didn't have to tell him. You see, Andrew's heart was just bursting. It was just bursting and overflowing with a desire to share this great discovery. In my little booklet, I tell the story about the late Dr. Bonar, who used to relate how that on one day a friend of his was passing down a Glasgow street in Scotland, and he saw a crowd gathered around a store door, and he had the curiosity to look in, and all he saw was an auctioneer holding up a great picture so that all could see. And when the good doctor got in position, he tried to see the man, but he couldn't, and the voice was coming from behind the picture, you know. Now look at this part of the picture, friends. Now step up a little closer and look at this other, look over here in the corner, and this detail and that and so on. And the friend said, you know, the whole time I was there, I never saw the speaker at all. All I could see was the picture that he was showing. Say, this is a good way to present Christ, so that you and I are out of sight and out of range, and we're just holding up Christ and speaking of him, and all they actually hear is the voice. Well, this is the glory of soul winning. You know, we're living in days of unparalleled insecurity and uncertainty, and people all around us are hungry. Now, they wouldn't admit that, but they are. And there are a lot of anxious people around us that are not getting what they want in the institutional ecclesiastical associations that they attend, and they're looking for witnesses, someone to just move in and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. This isn't preaching. People don't like to be preached at. But you know, friends, they're willing to listen to a testimony. Do you have a testimony to give? Can you speak well of Christ? Can you recommend him? Can you tell in a few simple words what great things he has done for you and why he loved you and how he changed your life? And then memorize some of these great gospel texts. Turn them to John 3:16, John 5:24, Romans 6:23, Romans 10 and verses 9 and 10, and Acts 10:43, and Oh, these scriptures make the way of salvation so simple and so clear and so plain. And as you sow the seed, you can look forward with definite certainty to the day when you'll come in with rejoicing, bringing your sheaves with you. May the Lord make us great soul winners for his name's sake.